Good evening, Wahoos and fellow ACC sports fans. Franco here. We've got Hobbo to my far right.
That's it. And we're scrambling today. Just everybody getting seated here moments
yes.
before airtime.
And smack dab in the middle, just like an Oreo cookie, is Mr. 6'8" with his Robert Goulet.
Bobby Goulet. Were you saying Terry?
Mustache going on there.
Oh, I thought you said I thought you were saying he's dead already.
No.
Poor Bob. We lost Bob recently, a few years ago.
Jim, you're kind of strange.
You know, right down the middle, that's Terry Gates Drive, you know, yes. when he goes out and plays golf.
All right, let's thank Terry for making an effort to get in here tonight. And I was trying to give Jim some kind of segue there, but it just didn't work. All right. Wahoos had a
disappointing.
I would call it a semi-misfire. They played with some guts and backbone in the first game against a Pitt team that was obviously fighting for continuing their season.
You know, the one thing I would say about Pitt, and it'll be interesting to get Terry's observation about this too, I think Pitt has some talent. They must have really not wanted to play for Stallings. You know, they may be the best 500 team in the country as far as I'm concerned. You know,
They got some horses.
Guys that can play, but they just couldn't win any games.
Yeah, it's tough. They certainly had two. They played very well against us, obviously. They shot the ball very well. When people shoot the ball well against Virginia, it's never a good thing because of the offensive end. But, yeah, I mean, it's Stallings' new coach, and Jamie Dixon had a nice little win at when he beat Kansas, right? The old Pitt coach.
Well, Pitt's past history now, and Notre Dame is past history too. But
let's talk about the Pitt. I mean, the Notre Dame game. several Virginia players were clearly under the weather, and if you followed Twitter, and I know you don't even know where Twitter is, and Facebook, and if you follow Snapchat and all these other things, there were rumors flying all over the place and interviews. Isaiah Wilkins was sick. He played in that game against Notre Dame, and he didn't start, remember that? And he only played like 12 minutes or something. He was sick.
14, yep.
Yeah, he was sick.
We don't have team doctors anymore? I thought they had magic pills to make these guys well.
They don't help you if you get the flu, Hobbo. I know you're sprained ankle.
And then why don't they give them flu shots before the season?
You know, correct. Why can't they keep them healthy?
That's it, right there.
Well, wait a minute. It was strep throat, so I don't know if they have strep throat shots. But still, regardless, 14 minutes out of Isaiah and 2 points and 3 rebounds.
And London was
that,
clearly
that
nursing
something. That is no recipe that has win by it, okay?
None. And I think Notre Dame, you know, we had beaten them 10 straight times, really had kind of dominated. I think they were fired up, ready to play.
That's only part of it.
You guys are crazy.
I mean, we're going to circle back to that.
Listen,
you just got here, so pipe down. All right.
You know, we couldn't make any shots. That was a big factor, too.
It was embarrassing.
Yeah.
You know, it's time to move on to the NCAA tournament.
It was embarrassing.
Okay, stop. Good grief.
Well, it was.
Good grief.
The good news is, Who's Talking didn't go to New York for the ACC tournament.
So we saved a lot of cha-ching.
I know, and a lot of heartbreak, too. That's the main thing.
You and I would have broken some on press row. We might have gotten in trouble.
$350 a night for a hotel room for that?
did I not say it was embarrassing?
Well, that's true.
Okay, if you say it again, you're going to be expelled.
It was a tough night.
What did it remind you? What did that game remind you of, though?
I don't know.
Eighth
grade basketball?
No.
Tennessee game back in the day?
Think December of this year.
December.
Yeah. Some Mountaineers came in.
Oh, the West Virginia Mountaineers?
At least we were shooting the ball okay, and it was tied with about 6 minutes to go.
Well, at least we were in the game against West Virginia.
Yeah, but they kind of spit in our eye, and we had no answer for it. No.
Well, you know, let's address that. To begin with, we have a great show tonight. Besides Terry Gates seated right in studio with us, later in the program as our super sub, he's never been a sixth man, but I would have to say Barry Parkhill, the legend, is joining us at the bottom of the hour, filling in for Dan Bonner, who is apparently been shipped out by CBS, True TV.
To Tulsa. I thought he was going to Buffalo, but I guess because of the weather, the storm, and the flight cancellations, CBS is trying to get their announcers in place in plenty of time. So I think Mr. Bonner has agreed to come on next week to break down the Sweet 16 for us, and we're keeping our fingers crossed that we'll be part of that.
And he will tell you it was embarrassing.
Okay.
Well, hopefully not these two games. We will have forgotten about Notre Dame by the time next Monday comes.
Let's hope so.
Your record player is broken again.
It is.
Look, I'm going to drive.
A-track. It's an A-track.
Okay. It probably was an A-track. A Learjet A-track.
Yeah. Right. Well, it's almost Easter. We laid an egg. Can we say that? You know.
I'm just going to say, this team has relied all year on a formula of playing 10 guys. Okay? And Bennett has done that from the beginning of the preseason all the way to this point. And this formula, he adjusts some of the parts and who plays more minutes and so forth. But when London Perantes is ill and Isaiah Wilkins is ill and Darius Thompson was ill, then got better, Devin Hall at times looked like he was just sick of being on the court. Team is not going to beat anybody if those guys aren't at their best, because this scrambled pack line defense that covers the paint as if it's life and death, and then is told, these players are told they've got to sprint to the perimeter to cut off those outside jumpers. They didn't get there. Notre Dame hit their jumpers.
We're susceptible to teams that can make jump shots from the perimeter. But the other thing...
They couldn't close out.
Terry will speak to this. This is a team with limitations based on the fact of having no interior offense. When Jared Reuter is your go-to guy in the low blocks...
You're in trouble.
Well, no. He can catch the ball and get that shot off. And at least they throw him the ball. My objection is not so much you're not relying on the inside game, but... they don't even throw the ball to Salt. Who's the center for Louisville?
I don't know. There's the Egyptian.
Right. Yeah. He was really awkward, and you might use the word awful about 2.5 years ago.
Yeah.
And he can actually catch the ball and make some moves and get the ball to the hoop. One thing they do, they throw him the ball.
Throw Salt the ball in practice. Who was the guy a few years ago they had to practice throwing him the ball to get him to catch it? You know, we've had some big guys that can't catch it.
There's the pressure of trying to make a move. But what I'm saying is the development of that position, to me, was one of the things this year has been a little disheartening. They don't even try. And when Wilkins, obviously he was sick, but – you know, when you're talking about one or two post moves the entire game.
Well, I'm not a big guy on practice, but I think that's the type of thing you got to work on in practice. You don't let the guy develop his offensive moves during the game.
But no, you have to put the ball in his hands, and you have to want to catch it too. So
look, at the beginning of the year, there was all this angst and anxiety surrounding the fact that Austin Nichols was suspended, and then he was released from the team. Okay.
Partly so.
And at that time, I said there's still plenty of time in this season for Coach Bennett and his staff to develop a couple players, and he has some guys that have some moves.
I think the guy that has potential long-term is Momedy.
But they didn't work him in. He came around on the perimeter, and he took long shots.
Jump shots. Yeah, you don't want him to develop into a four that wants to shoot the three all the time.
Let's go back to what Frank just said. He said this angst about Austin Nichols. That was 25% of the equation. The other part of the equation was the angst of losing Malcolm Brogdon and Anthony Gill and Mike Toby.
Yeah. I think you could make a case that this is one of Tony Bennett's better coaching jobs.
Possibly.
In some respects, given
the personnel we have.
With the departure of the three fourth or fifth year players from last year.
And the loss of Nichols.
You were left, quite honestly, and I don't want to be negative about it, but there were role players coming off that team from the previous year.
Oh, yeah.
And then your leader was reluctant to...
And London really wasn't a score.
So when you think about the very fact they lost to Notre Dame by, 13 points? The game wasn't close.
It wasn't that close.
It wasn't competitive.
No.
It was very un-Virginia.
That was the embarrassing thing. The second to last time I'll say that again. But that was the embarrassing thing, that they took it to you. They took it to us, and we had no response.
In a game that
Bonzi
mattered.
Coleman is jawing at people. Yeah. And we're going to get even in the second half? No.
He kind of brushed up against Tony running down the floor time.
Early.
But
the irony in that game, and I'm looking at the box score here, was Notre Dame was only 5 of 17 from three, but didn't it feel like they were making them? It was a strange game. They only 24 of 46 from the field, so they're not They're not taking a lot of shots.
Well, part of it too is, you know, Virginia's not a come from behind team as, in general terms. You know, when they drop behind by double digits, it makes it tough for them to come back.
Well,
I mean, it's not impossible, but they don't press.
Yeah, but I don't think that
they don't score a lot of points. So I mean, it,
okay, but I'm not. I don't think that that's the in essence the whole nine yards here. You know, he's got a lot of young guys.
He's got a lot of young
and
guys.
And he's playing them. Not just for this year, but he's playing them for the future, Hobbo. And you know,
and Kyle Guy disappeared that night too. I don't think he scored against Notre Dame, did he?
With three studs coming in next year, you know, DeAndre Hunter is a player. This kid Huff is turned out to be quite the athlete. And everybody said he was a project. Heck, he can jump through the ceiling. Okay, and you've got Marco Anthony, who's had a terrific last year in high school out there in Texas.
Marco Anthony's in high school, You know, and you might be right. I haven't seen the kids play, but if they were that good, they probably wouldn't have gotten redshirted.
Tatum at Duke was a high school senior last year, Jim.
Well, we don't have any Tatums.
I wish we did, but we don't
have any Tatums.
Well, you don't know what we got.
I mean, Duke's got three lottery picks in that lineup.
They're not lottery picks. Take that back.
Grayson Allen and Kennard, will be lottery picks.
Grayson Allen is not a lottery pick.
No.
Kennard, because the Celtics will take him. Okay.
Well, you mentioned three-point shooting, Frank, but if you look at the box score.
I've got it right here.
And there was a Notre Dame fan who was really in my way. I couldn't see, but layup, dunk, layup, free throws, layup, dunk.
Well,
dunk. That's first half.
All right. Well, time out.
That's eight. Half the points.
You boys are starting to depress me. We got to look ahead to UNC.
Did I mention embarrassing?
why are you broken record, Terry?
No, but it was just...
This is a problem. And Tony Bennett's got to solve it. Notre Dame took 25 free throws. Okay?
Well, that's been a problem all year.
And the games Virginia has lost, if you go back, I guarantee you, the other team almost always shot somewhere between 23 and 30 free throws.
Well, so, but that's the fact that they get to the rim.
They better not foul the Seagulls of UNC Wilmington.
Well, yeah, right. The good news is the Notre Dame game is in the past. You can't do anything about that one. Looking forward to UNC Wilmington. And the one thing about UNC Wilmington, I think they're going to be a little bit smaller. They try to press. I think we could handle pressure. And in my view, Terry, speak to this, I think Virginia's better with a four-guard lineup. And I think the four-guard lineup will work against UNCW.
Right. And I will tell you, it has worked at times, and then I'm going to let Terry go on. I personally don't like it. I like the more traditional lineup. I want a center. I want a power forward. I want to get some rebounds. And this team better figure out how to get the rebounds against these guys from UNC Wilmington because they shoot bombs from all over the place. And if they get a whole bunch of second and third chances from the arc – it will be a bad result. Go ahead. Tell me I'm wrong, Terry. Come on.
Oh, well,
he's wrong.
I think, you know.
You know, you're not Terry.
The defense often bleeds over to the offense, but I agree with Frank to a certain extent. I think the ball needs to be inside to Isaiah Wilkins. I think he needs to catch the ball and put pressure on the defense.
Well, I think Isaiah should play.
I
think he should be the one big guy that's
playing. If Salt's in there, I think he should handle the ball a little bit, throwing down low. He doesn't look to shoot. He passes it back out. Guards like guys like that. How will you know that? You throw it in, they throw it back to you.
That's right. I love that. You get to the big guy kicking back in the perimeter. But
how about they haven't got anybody in the corner.
The problem with, and I don't know, but UNC is probably smaller, and I think, you know, Salt, it would be a tough matchup for big guys. I don't know who he's going to guard. They're probably smaller, quicker. But my problem is you put Wilkins and Salt on the floor. You've taken 40% of your team is not going to produce any offense to speak of.
I bet if you look at the games that Salt's played 20 minutes, we've probably won them. He's not in foul trouble, number one.
Yes.
He's getting rebounds, or he wouldn't be playing 25 minutes if he's not getting offensive rebounds. So I think it's up to them to get a little burn in their saddle too. It's not the end of the world, but they need to go in there and have a little chip on their shoulder saying, hey, what we've been doing is not the level that we're used to, not the level we want to be at. And I think London needs to take control of this team. This laid back, you know, it's okay. The fact that they have the record that they finished where they are 6 in the league with the group they have, they've had a very good year. Our problem is we're using a marker, a yardstick, that had them in the top 10 and had them
in,
you know.
Yeah, we've been used to 29, 30 wins.
We beat Louisville in December, and things were going our way. But we have been smacked around every now and then, and I don't like the response to it sometimes. We just kind of, we're going to get back over the next 25 minutes. I think it needs to be a little more immediate than that.
I couldn't agree more. All right, we're going to go to our first break. On the other side, we're going to stick with Terry Gates, and we're going to talk more NCAA basketball. We're going to break down UNC Wilmington a little bit and talk about how important it is for Virginia to practice well this week, getting ready for this game. Stay with us. This is Who's Talking.